Alaska's newsmakers.
Action Line KINY.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Action Line. I'm Jazz Garrett, filling in for Jordan Lewis today. And with me, I have Deputy Chief Craig Campbell. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jazz. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, enjoying the sunshine.
I think, like everybody, we are loving it.
So yeah.
It gives us maybe, hopefully not false hope, but like spring is here, no more snow. But we all know from personal experiences, it could be snowing all the way up to May. So
that's true. Yeah. And I know it's still a little icy out in the morning, too. So people still need to be driving carefully, as always.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And so my first question for you today was I wanted to ask, how has been settling into the deputy chief role been?
You know, I think it's been great. Like any new opportunities in your career, you're learning a lot of different things, and that takes us time to be more proficient with it. But so far, I've really enjoyed the position. You know, we have a great police department and amazing staff, and so it just makes you enjoy your work that much better. But I'm optimistic, and I think it will just be going well.
Yeah. What are some of the new responsibilities that comes with being a deputy chief?
Yeah, so the deputy chief overall is managing the sections within the department, you know, our sworn, our non-sworn, you know, our patrol officers, our dispatchers, our records unit, our IT, and all the other units that just help support that. It also does like our fleet maintenance stuff and management, you know, how do we get vehicles, that type of stuff. You're managing your policies and procedures and really just talking with people and trying to figure out what they need to be successful in their jobs and trying to help support that so you can support other people to do the best work that they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have there been more recent conversations about how best to support the officers now that we're in the new year?
Yeah, I think like anything, you know, we have changes in our command staff. So we have a new chief, we have a new deputy chief. Is people are going to be wondering, you know, what new things or philosophies and ideas are they bringing to the department? And so I think, yeah, a lot of people have questions of how we'll be moving in different directions. And we're just trying to talk with them and try to, and also listen to staff like, hey, what do you guys need? And try to help support them. Because overall goal is to have a great organizational wellness and organizational health. So our employees are feeling valued and heard.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of mental health, I was wondering if the Juneau Police Department has any thoughts about the, I should have wrote it down, Senate Bill. I think it's 103 from Senator Dunbar, and it's about providing more mental health resources to first responders and providing more funding for that support.
Oh. I hadn't heard that, but those things are always great. One of the things we've done in the past year and a half is from our previous chief, Ed Mercer, and one of our lieutenants, Jeremy Weske, have been really focused on bringing a wellness program into our department. And through the past year and a half, that's been, you know, from the ground up and getting that implemented and getting funding for it and getting staff trained, partnering with counseling services. And we've brought that into the police department. And so we have actually now a full-fledged wellness program for our staff. And that's annual counseling for just like check-in visits to see how are you guys doing, as well as just events to give people tools and things like that to really focus on their personal health and mental well-being. Because I think it is a part of, or within law enforcement, that is been neglected for many, many years. And it shouldn't. It's a shame that it has been, because law enforcement, I mean, similar to other jobs, but you see a lot of traumatic things, and that can take a toll on people. So we just want to make sure our staff is protected, has the tools available and the resources that they can reach out to. And also just so people know is, hey, we want you to do that. Yeah, it is acceptable. Don't keep things hidden. Don't keep, you know, letting it build up.
Want you to talk about it.
Yeah.
So. Okay. And then I also wanted to talk about, this is kind of related in a way, the crisis intervention training that was done in February. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The crisis intervention training model is something we've been doing the past, it's like 5-6 years we've been doing it and teaching staff, and it ties really close into de-escalation training for staff and just giving those expectations and the tools. So when staff are dealing with people who are struggling with some kind of mental health crisis, they just are better trained and they understand what's going on with the people. And the goal is to have just a better successful outcome for the staff member they encounter, but also the community member that they're there involved with. And that is a program that we're gonna continue with and just provide training as needed. And we do annual training for the type of stuff. Well, I think it was about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we got some really neat training tools. It's a virtual reality headset that allows you to put officers in different situations and scenarios and like just tweak the variables a little bit. So it's like, hey, maybe on a traffic stop, you're contacting somebody who does, they're super polite and nice. Next time, same exact scenario, they are aggressive, or now they have mental health issues, or you can just change it a lot of bit. So
okay,
allow staff
can,
to kind
yeah.
of like think through processes versus just one action. So that's been really nice for the de-escalation tools for things. It allows us to see simulated scenarios and respond accordingly to it.
Okay. Yeah. And do you partner with any other organizations in town for that crisis intervention training?
We do it with, it all depends on the times we do it, but like Jemmy's been a big part of it. CCFR has been there as well. And there's been other groups as well. Just probably going to forget some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And really just try to provide training for that to people, but also like bring in different training to staff as well.
Okay. Yeah. And then you also have a July Academy coming up.
Yep.
And I'm still trying to recruit officers.
Yes. That's probably the biggest one is trying to recruit staff. We have Academy coming up in July. And I always tell people, hey, the police department is kind of unique where you can't really just start on day one, start being a cop, right? You got to go through months and months of training to get you to a level where you're certified, you're proficient to be able to work on your own. But probably one of the first phases in that is going to the academy. It's 3.5-4 months long. They're going to teach a variety of skills. They're going to house you and feed you and train you, and you get all kinds of free physical fitness stuff there.
Does it take place in Juneau?
No, it's in Sitka.
Okay.
So they're at the Public Safety Academy in Sitka. And our hope is to get as many people as we can. I know we're going to have at least one person because we just hired somebody this past week. They're going to be attending that. And with any luck, we'll have maybe two, if not three. And I would love to see more people from Juneau apply and get picked up and hired on here, because I think having representatives of our community is going to be the best. And just as diverse as we can, because we want to equally represent people from all walks of life here in the community. But we need people to apply. We need people to reach out. And
how can someone do that?
So we have a website, a recruiting website. It's called joinjpd.com. So they can go to that. There's a variety of tabs you can click on to get more information. You can apply through there. But you can actually just call the police department and just say, hey, I'm interested in recruiting and I want to talk to a recruiter and ask questions and maybe do a ride-along. And I would just encourage people to do that. Call the police department and say, hey, I'm interested in applying. Is there somebody I could talk with? And then we can sit down and one-on-one just talk. Like, we can show you what police work is like, do ride-alongs, allow people to kind of see what it's like. It's the police department's not scary. it's made up of community members that you see in the store, and you your kids play t-ball together and this, because we're just so tight-knit.
Juneau is such a tight-knit community, so I think that's a good point that you bring up about wanting people from Juneau to apply, to just someone who really has experience and maybe a relationship already with community members that can help build that trust as a police officer too.
Yeah, really good point. And I think just trying to answer questions for people so they understand what it's like to be a police officer and living in Juneau. I tell people, every year there's more and more people that might not have been thinking about it last year. Maybe this year they're going to apply. And I don't. Mm-hmm. I think people will enjoy the work. There's a lot of job satisfaction out of it. It pays well. You definitely are going to work. We are a department that is a working department. There's always things going on here, but it is rewarding work and it's fun and exciting.
Do you still have your hiring bonuses going too?
We do. So right now it's a $25,000 hiring bonus for people come on. So that's pretty nice. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so another thing that I wanted to talk about was recently there is a University of Alaska Southeast editorial that I actually took part in, and in it a lot of students were raising concerns to the chancellor that they want on-campus security or just a police presence established at UAS again, so they have someone they can go to instead of maybe having to contact housing or just having a quicker response or like immediate response or contact with the police there. And I know the chancellor had talked with the police chief, and I'm not sure, do you know any information about that?
Yeah, the police chief and I met with the chancellor recently to kind of like one kind of meet and greet to talk and figure out what their needs are and how to best we can support each other. And we're still working through what that's going to look like. Our biggest struggle, like anything, is always going to be staffing. Is people want more police services, but when you don't have people, you just can't provide extra services.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to work on some ways of, hey, how do we do that and provide the services that the students need there versus what we can actually provide. And I think we're still probably in the early phases of that, but we do know that's a need, and
the conversation's happening. Okay.
Yeah, conversation's still going.
Yeah. Okay. And then I have something really fun that I want to ask you about that
like
I saw on
question.
Your Facebook page, a bonus question about Canine Buddy.
Oh, yeah. Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll look back on his career.
Yeah. Buddy's retired. He's actually retired now. And we just put something out to let everybody know because, you know, if you lived in Juneau in the past 6 years, you've seen Buddy's photo at some point. It's our first canine that we've had in over 20 years, and it's a designated drug dog. And it's just been really important and vital for us in combating the flow of drugs coming into the community. And I think once we got Buddy and saw the work that he can do, we saw how valuable it is. So Buddy's good work has just continued to allow us to have a canine program. That's why we have now Canine DAX. But it's sad to see Buddy go because he's a good dog.
So what happens to a canine once they retire?
Yeah, so the first option always goes to the handler. And so Buddy's handler or trainer is Officer Mike Weiss. He's our canine officer, and he gets first picks. So obviously you have a dog for 6 years, you probably have a very strong bond with it.
And especially like that working relationship too, I would imagine that would be such a unique bond with the dog.
Oh yeah, yeah. And what's interesting about a canine, it's a working dog. It's not the same as like a pet at your house, you know. It's not on the couch and on the bed and doing, you can't really maybe take it for walks the same way and interact with other dogs. There's just a lot of differences, and the dog's personality is different. But Buddy's gonna go live with Mike and his family and live the rest of his life as just a regular dog, and that's gonna be probably unique and fun for him. And but I'm sure he's gonna see, because Mike also has Canine DAX, so now you have two of them, and so that would be kind of an interesting relationship. But Buddy's gonna retire and just stay at home and find fun things to do, I guess.
I wonder if he'll get bored and miss it.
He's going to be like, give me another biscuit. I'm going to stay here, guard the house.
Yeah. And what does the training look like for Canine DAX? Like, how long is that process, and what does that entail?
Yeah, so when we get Canine DAX in the very beginning, when we go down or Mike goes down to select a dog, they've already started training. Like, someone else has trained them to get a lot of the basic core functions out of them. And then Mike goes down, I think it was at least 2 to 3 weeks to do then individual training with him once the dog has been selected. And then, and that's, and I couldn't actually tell you all the things that they do, but it's pretty intensive. And then when he comes back, then he still just does training all the time. I'm like, they do weekly trainings, on-job trainings, because you got to get the dog proficient to where they are doing the things you need them to do in like a real world scenario. And thankfully that's what Mike's been doing since in the summertime. That's when we got Dax. So
okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of, we've had this like transition period where Buddy could have retired sometime in the past year, even up to next year.
I remember we've been talking about it a few times. Yeah. Yeah. That he was set to retire.
And, you know, canines, when they first come from their school, they're not to a degree to where they can actually just work on their own. It takes a lot of one-on-one training with their canine handler to be proficient and
establish that bond with the handler and the canine.
And just so the canine is performing and the handler knows what how the dog reacts to things.
Okay. And then is there anything else that you would like to talk about that's going on with the Juneau Police Department?
You know, I think the biggest one for us is recruitment. You know, we currently have 14 police officer vacancies, which is probably our biggest need, but we also need dispatchers. We have several vacancies there. And I would just encourage people, if you're listening to this, if you know somebody that you think might be a good police officer, encourage them to apply, because we need good people and we need people from our community to help us out.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.